Welcome everyone back to the podcast. This is Miles on the Grid. I'm your host Miles. In today's episode, or this week's episode, we have a really special guest, Ayrton Simmons. We're talking about a F4 racing driver, a BRDC Formula 3 driver, currently sixth in the championship, but through no fault of his own, he'll be right back at the top, I'm sure of it, and also a previous karting champion. So really excited to have him on. Ayrton, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, for sure.
Nice. So, I mean, I know that we've spoken on Twitter, and I've seen a few of your posts, and I've seen a few of your races as well, which is quite cool. But just for my listeners who may not know who you are or may not know a bit more about you, could you just tell us a bit more about what you do, who you are, and why you're so amazing at your job?
First of all, I'm a racing driver, as you said. I race in British Formula 3 this year. You know, I've been involved in karting since the age of 5. You know, Dad was a massive, very big Formula 1 fan. And then, yeah, one day we went karting and just fell in love with, you know, with the sport within the first lap. I still remember it till this day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just trying to, you know, my goal is to try and achieve the unachievable. I think nowadays it's very hard to reach Formula 1, especially for kids with, you know, a normal background like I do.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do what, you know, no one has been able to do in this sort of era. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Nice. And I think you touched on something quite cool there. So you mentioned that, like, you fell in love with karts from, like, your first lap. How did it feel? Like, do you remember any sort of sensation as to guessing in the kart and sort of starting it up?
Yeah, it wasn't actually my kart. We went out on a rental kart. That was the first time I drove. But I remember it so clear. I remember it clear as day, because at the time it was when Alonso and Schumacher were starting to battle.
Yeah.
And obviously I grew up in Spain. Sorry, I didn't touch on that. I grew up in Spain, and I'm half Spanish myself. Nice. So obviously I was a big Fernando fan. Everyone at that time was. And yeah, I just thought I was one of them, really. Not quite Michael, I thought I was more Alonso.
Recording
But yeah, that was my first feeling. I'm like, wow, I really am Fernando Alonso.
I can imagine. I mean, for me, when the first time I went karting, I thought I was Lewis Hamilton. I was spinning off into barriers left, right and centre. Didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest, and was quite shocked.
That's not quite what he does, though.
Nearly. After this weekend, it was a nearly hit. But I mean, that's pretty cool. So you mentioned you grew up in Spain. Were there quite a few different championships in Spain that you could get involved with? Or
Yes. In the karting side, there was quite a few. I think you had each sort of town or city had their own local championship. So
yeah,
I grew up in the outskirts of Madrid. So my first championship was the Madrid Championship. And to be honest, I was at that level for a very large chunk of my early days, probably about my first five years I was racing at that level.
Nice.
Just, you know, I think it's after the second year, I think, I won my first championship there.
Okay, cool.
And from there, I was going up, you know, from cadet to mini max to junior max, all through the different classes.
Yeah.
Until one day, you know, the people around me racing in the Madrid Championship started racing in the Spanish Championship.
Nice.
And obviously we're like, well, we've been beating them in our local track, so I'm sure we could do a pretty good job in the whole of Spain. Obviously the level was a lot higher.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it was something to get sort of not hard, but had to get used to for the first half of the first season, racing in the Spanish Championship. But yeah, ended up winning I finished second a few times and ended up winning the Spanish Championship in 2012.
Nice.
Which then qualified me for the Rotax World Finals in Portugal, same in 2012, and we managed to win that as well. So that was good.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, it seems like you've been a serial winner everywhere you've gone. And at the moment, I know you're currently racing in the British F3 Championship. Could you tell me a bit more about that and a bit more to the listeners? Because I'm sure they'd love to find out.
It's a brilliant championship. For sure, you know, my favourite in what I've raced in single seaters so far.
Yeah.
Very well controlled. The people around it are amazing, you know, from the staff that work for the championship to all the teams, you know, there's such a great atmosphere there. Everyone's trying to beat each other.
Yeah.
But there's always that massive level of respect. You know, we all recognise that we're all, you know, doing an amazing job. You know, all huge teams, all very talented drivers. So we have a lot of respect for each other. And yeah, I mean, it's a great championship to be in. It's one that, you know, a lot of people that are in F1 now, likes of, you know, Lando Norris, George Russell, especially the recent ones. I've gone through it. And then, you know, you can go back many years where Senna, Martin Brundle did British F3. So it's certainly a step up to where I want to be.
Yeah.
And just trying to, you know, set my feet and show some good results in that. Because if you can show some talent in British F3, you know, then people sort of know that you are, you know, you're no joke. You're here for, you know, some serious progress.
Nice. I mean, you've been doing quite well. So I was having a look at the championship standings on the weekend. And in like round one, you had 35 points, and then you had the unfortunate DNF, which sucks a bit. But then you also collected 9 points again in round three. What's that winning feeling like when you're on top of a podium, or you're even second or third, and you're just celebrating your friends and family? What's that like for you?
Finishing second and third is very rarely you feel satisfied with.
Yeah.
Like, you're happy that you're on the podium, you know, it's a good result, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's something in the back of your head going, you know, you could have won that, or what could you have done different to be on the top step?
Yeah.
But winning is an amazing feeling. Winning is, you could call it, you know, the drug of all racing drivers, you know, you're always trying to chase that feeling. That winning feeling is you can't really describe it. It's something different, and you feel completely over the moon for the next few hours after. You feel buzzy. Everyone around you is buzzing. So it's brilliant when you win. And as you said, we managed to grab one of those in round one, which was brilliant.
That's amazing.
And I actually did not know I was sick. And I've completely ignored the standings because I knew I had the DNF in round three.
Yeah.
So I knew it wouldn't be pretty. So I just sort of avoided that. It's a very long season. So, you know, at that stage, I'm just not very concerned at all of where we are. I just got to turn up to each race weekend and try to deliver the best we can. But Brands was a brilliant weekend. We broke the lap record there as well.
Nice.
Which was awesome. It was overall a brilliant weekend, but that little crash in race three, you know, sort of ruined my Sunday a little bit. But, you know, you're always going to get the old race where things just happen. It's motorsport, it's part of it, you know.
True. And I think we even see that at the highest level, like F1 and F2, it happens. So no stress on your back from there. Like you mentioned, it's a long championship. I think there's like 23 or 24 rounds.
Yeah,
you've got time to clinch this championship, so no stress on your back.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm really intrigued to find out how you and your team sort of approach a motorsport weekend. So I'm not as technical as I possibly could be. I don't have an engineering background. I came from a law. But how do you and your team approach a weekend with the right mindset, or even from, let's say, like a setup perspective? And if anything's too technical, don't say it.
Listen, I've always been known for being open and, you know, saying the truth. So I'm going to go as detailed as I can for this one.
Sure.
To be honest, the build-up on the race week for me is very important. The team would be, you know, finishing off the last touches in the car in the factory, because after each race or each test, the car just gets stripped to pieces.
Okay.
And they rebuild again so that they make sure that everything is there. You know, from my last race, we had 4 weeks off, so I'm sure they've literally had the car in absolute bits, double-checked everything, and little by little just start applying bits again, making sure that they're, you know, on the right way, you know, without rushing things. And so I'm sure the team are busy doing that. But for me, it's about my state of mind. You know, I train a lot before. I don't tend to do as much on a race week, because you want to have as much energy as you can. A race weekend is quite, you know, physically and mentally draining. So yeah, you want to approach it as fresh as you can. So yeah, I'll do a very light session with my trainer on the Monday morning, and that's it. You know, just make sure you're eating right and cut the last little bit of weight if you have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all sorts of things that each driver would have their own little routines. But you know, on a race week, you know, I get my hair cut.
Yeah.
I want to look fresh. You know, I sometimes, obviously it's been shut recently, they've only just opened, but I usually go, you know, on a spa, go in a sauna, feel fresh.
Yeah.
And just approach, you know, the race week on a very positive mindset. If you've got things playing in your mind, then it's going to affect you on the track. So that's very important for me. And then once we get to the racetrack on the Thursday, we walk the circuit, me, mm-hmm. the engineers and the team driver coach and obviously my teammates.
Yeah.
We'll through the circuit, even though, you know, you might think, why would you want to walk it if you're racing in it? You know, going for every corner. You have your paperwork with your braking points from last time, turning points, things that you've done good in certain corners, things where you can improve. And even sometimes you sort of think of different creative lines that you can try in the first practice session just out of curiosity, because you never know. And then obviously after that we go back to the hotel and have a good rest. But from the Friday morning, it's literally flat out. Even though we have quite a long periods of time between practice sessions or races, we spend most of that time in the office discussing, you know, changes and stuff. It depends how the weekend goes, really. Like for us, the last race, you know, where we knew we had the pace all along, we knew we just had to put it together for quali, which we did.
Yeah.
It was quite, you know, straight going, you know, it was all tweaks. There's no major problems with the car, no major problems with the driving. And it was all pretty cool and chilled out, which is good. But, you know, I've had race weekends where we've been miles off the pace. The driving has not been great because then I get frustrated that we're not as quick as we are. And you spend a lot more time in there going, you know, attention to detail, which is very important. So, but yeah, approaching the race week, you want to be as clear-minded as possible and as fresh as possible. And whilst you're there, just have one thing on your mind, which is, you know, what can I do to get that end goal, which is winning.
Nice. And thanks for the detail on that, because I think it's interesting to hear how different people have different approaches. I mean, even at like F1 level, for example, Lewis says he doesn't do much work in the sim. He doesn't even walk the track anymore.
I hate the sim.
Do you?
Yeah, I barely go on the sim, to be honest. A surprise, actually, because a lot of people look at me and they're like, you don't drive, like, everyone, you know, sort of my generation of racing drivers spend hours and hours on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just don't use it at all. I mean, it is very beneficial, I'd say, when you're learning a circuit with a new car and, you know, you can get up to grips with gears and, you know, sort of braking points, because it's never going to be the same as the real life thing. And but yeah, I mean, once you've been to the track, you know the car. Of the same as what, you know, you just said, I'd do a few laps a year. That's about it, really. There's no comparing to the car in real life and the feeling, because then you adapt to what you're doing on a computer.
Yeah.
So then you jump on a track and you're like, well, I was quick on the sim, you know, and you're like, well, it's a completely different world. If I jump to the sim, I'm slow. Just know that, you know, I'm really slow. We've done a few championships for charity, well, for the NHS during this lockdown.
Nice.
That's awesome. We've got drivers on online racing, on iRacing. Don't know if you heard.
Yeah, yeah. Nice championship.
And I was just terrible, man. I couldn't even finish a lap. But I think on the last race, I think I couldn't qualify. I couldn't do a lap. And then the race was just about sort of staying on the track, really, in survival mode. But yeah, I just find it so hard and so different. But I guess, as you said, you know, each driver has their own approaches, you know.
But I mean, it's interesting, because if let's say that's your approach and that's Lewis's approach, you could find yourself on that top podium one day. So who knows? but I mean, just touching on a few other things. So you mentioned that like you and your team will walk the track together and sort of go through that. Like different braking points and different corner entry aspects and stuff like that. How important is teamwork at your level at the moment? Because I know it can vary Or do you have a rival even, if you're allowed to say that on on YouTube? Or
no, I don't have a rival. To be honest, I think you're always going to get the best result when you're fully focused on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, to be completely honest, and it might sound a bit rude, but I didn't know every driver on the grid that I was racing against that ran circuits because I was generally so focused on what I was doing. It was only after the first race, I did, you know, a quick flick through the results and stuff, and I'm like, oh, he's racing it. What the hell?
Yeah.
And then you see a few familiar faces, but yeah, I mean, you're going to have rivalries, especially when you're fighting at the front. But again, that's something you put your energy whilst you're racing against them. If you're out of the car and you know, you're in your meetings and you have the other person in mind, it's not going to be great, because, you know, I think it can bias some of your decisions. As such, I'll give you an example. Let's say you finished qualifying in fourth, your rival second. Yes. And, you know, in your mind, you're like, oh, I've got two places to find. So, you know, he's 2 places ahead of me. We've got to find so much time. And actually, all you need to do is have little tweaks here, little tweaks there, and a little tweak there. And, you know, you're well on the way to the time that he would have achieved. So, yeah, rivalries are, you know, something that you sort of you don't focus on it, but you only notice it when you're on the track, especially towards the close end of the season when you're fighting the people around you in the championship and stuff. But what's your teamwork, right?
Just wondering if it plays as much of a part in racing as we think it does, because we see certain drivers. Yeah. I don't want to shout out Valtteri Bottas, but perfect teammate, maybe not the world champion that he could be. So how does it play a factor in your racing?
Huge. Teamwork is such an important key, and it was one of the reasons why I decided to join with Chris Dittman Racing.
Okay.
Obviously, I'd done the championship with him in 2019.
Yes.
And I'd never really clicked with the whole engineering staff and the whole mechanics. I believe we're in a different level, communication wise. Obviously, we get on well as, you know, personal, but, you know, when we step foot in an office, like, you know, I'm sometimes amazed, and I'm in there every other day, and it's just like, wow, like the level of information, communication, everyone's on the exact same page, and it's so important, so important. I think the setup we have, I think lots of different teams work, have different systems, let's say. The normal team, I think, would have a chief engineer, and then each driver would have their own engineer.
Okay, sure.
But that sort of sometimes splits the team into four little teams, because you have the driver and their engineer doing their own thing, sort of. But over here in Chris Dittman, you know, we have 2 race engineers, Chris, the owner of the team, which it does count as an engineer. So you could say there's 3 engineers because he's in there all the time as well.
Oh, nice.
And then you'd have the driver coach, and everyone's there. So they're there for everyone, and everyone has the exact same level of information. So we go through one driver first. Everyone's, you know, listening to what they have to say about other drivers. Then they'll go on to you and go through your stuff, and everyone's there listening. So every single person knows exactly what is going on, which is so, so important. And yeah, I believe teamwork has a massive key, and also faith, you know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in my team. So let's say that the car was not quite there in the last practice session. I know that they can turn it around and put that car on pole for the next session easily. And I guess it's the same for them, you know. They have faith that, you know, if I wasn't driving quite as right on one of the sessions before qualifying, they know that, you know, if I worked hard on it and focused on the right areas, I could sort out for the next one. So it is very important, for sure.
Nice. And I think it's quite cool to have that synergy that you've got with your team, and that belief that regardless of what happened, let's say, like the practice before or the day before, you're going to either stick it on pole or you're going to give a really good result in the race. So, yeah, no, that's nice to hear. I mean, just switching it around for like the last sort of 5-10 minutes, what's your current take on the F1 championship at the moment? Have you been following? Has it been something in the back of your mind?
Of course I've been following. It's exciting. It's very exciting. And it's good to see, you know, I'm a big fan of Lewis, but it's good to see him being challenged, you know, by a different manufacturer, a different driver. And, you know, the likes of Max, he is so good. He's special as well.
So,
I mean, this season is the most I've watched it. And, you know, the other day I watched, like, I think every single practice, every minute of practice. And I'm like, I'd never, ever do that. I'd never do that. But you're just so interested. You want to know where this battle's going to go. You know, some circuits, the Mercs has the edge over the Red Bull.
Yeah.
Some other circuits, the more twisty ones, the Red Bull's got the edge over it. And it's just like, who's going to come out on top of this race? You know, it's amazing to see. It's great for the sport, for sure. I know, just talking to, you know, people that I know, they know what I do, they've been like, yeah, actually, I've been following F1. You know, it's quite close this year. So it's the best thing that could have happened for the sport, I think. Lots of people tuning in just to see the battle. So, yeah, I'm not sure who will come out on top. It's still quite early days, but, you know, Red Bull and Max, I wouldn't bet against them.
Yeah, it's such a tough one because I think for so many years, I've been a massive Lewis fan. And don't get me wrong, I support Max and I think he's great. And like when you go to the races, you'll see like the whole Dutch army like there in orange gear. But Max has shown something this year which I don't think he's shown before. It's like a level of consistency plus his ridiculous pace. So I don't know. I'm scared for Lewis, but I'm happy if it means a slightly different winner for the championship. And I mean, have you been paying attention to any of what the constructors have been saying between themselves? So like Mercedes have been making jabs at Red Bull. They've been saying, hey, you know, you're making a lot of mistakes. And then Merck will do like a 2-day pit stop with Bottas. Well, what's your take on that? Do you think it's something that would be good for the sport, or is it just a distraction that the drivers don't need?
I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant. You know, I love all that stuff. Psychological games is brilliant. It's all part of it, you know, in every sport. Football, boxing, everything, it's part of being competitive. And when it's so close, you know, psychology, I think, plays a huge part in how you perform.
So, again, it's
another thing that's good for the sport. You know, it gets people talking, you know, and not only F1 fans like you and me, but also normal people that, you know, would watch the odd race. They've been, you know, talking about them and saying that, and then they're coming back and forth, and it's good, and it keeps people interested, for sure. So yeah, I think it's a good thing, but it happens at all levels. It happens in F3 sometimes.
Does it?
You do get the odd sort of psychology games and stuff. I don't tend to get as involved with all that side of things, but you know, you do get the odd person trying to get into your head and stuff. But you know, when you're, again, as I said earlier, it's all about focusing on yourself as much as you can, and then it just blocks all energy surrounding it. But yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, same. I think it's something which just adds a bit more drama. Like in Monaco, for example, when Lewis was stuck in seventh, and then Max came out saying, hey, you know, we don't make mistakes like you do. Then Max crashes in practice and back, I was just like, this is dumb. This is going to be so crazy. Cool, just two last questions. One that was actually asked by someone I know. So where do you see your career going? Like, let's say you have a really strong season this season in F3. What's next for you?
Again, it's all to do with the sponsorship and how much money we can gain over the winter.
Yeah.
I think if we have a strong season this year and come away with the title, which is what we're aiming for, I think it'll create a lot of noise. A lot of people and investors would like to be part of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when we don't have the money like the likes of, I'm not even going to say anyone, but you know, the people that are joining F1 recently. It's hard because not being funny, when you've got all the money, you have a pathway. You say, right, from this year to this year, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to move up, and then it's going to, and you have a plan, which is, you know, what you want to have. But when you rely 90% of your budget on sponsorship money, you don't quite know what you're getting until sometimes late December, late January. So it's hard to sort of put a vision to it. That's why I've always taken each year as it goes. But best scenario for me, I think that if we have a very, very strong year, we could be knocking on the doors of FIA of three.
Nice.
Or even trying to get in a full season of Euro Formula. And you know, being overly ambitious, you could be knocking on the doors of F2 too. So you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, just got to take it year by year. And hopefully some people will come on board and join this journey.
Nice. No, and I honestly wish you all the best in that. And I'll be more than happy to follow your journey quite closely. Lastly, is there any sort of advice or tips that you would give to anyone who's aspiring to become a racer like yourself? Maybe a little kid who's like 6 or 7 or 8 years old, or even someone who's getting into racing now, like in their late 20s or something. What would you suggest that would be the best pathway?
One, that your dad has a really big pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just say stick to it, man. If it's your passion, always stick to it and never give up, you know. I knew it was always going to be hard. We used to struggle to pay for our karting days.
And, yeah.
You know, I have this conversation with my dad to look back and think, wow, like we've really gone all the way up to F3.
Yeah.
Even that is a huge achievement for us because we never thought we'd be this far up. So never give up on your dream. Work hard at it, you know, especially in your early days. Make sure you get as much track time as you can. And yeah, be faithful and be patient as well. I think it's one area where a lot of people sort of don't realise they need. A lot of people are like, yeah, we're going to do a year of testing and we're going to do our first year of racing and we're going to, you know, win the championship and we're going to go and win that.
Yeah.
It just depends on the person, you know. I mean, my success never came straight away. It was all part of a hard working programme. And a lot of patience, you know. When I was in karting, I was there showing up every Saturday and every Sunday from ridiculous hours in the morning to the circuit used to shut when it got dark. So I was there in the summer till literally 8 o'clock at night. Right. So, you know, put in the work as well and enjoy it. That's another thing. Enjoy it. Make sure you enjoy every second of it because when you get up to the more serious racing, it doesn't get as enjoyable. So the early days are always the most enjoyable days.
Nah, fair enough. I appreciate that, and I'm sure anyone who will listen to this will. But yeah, no, that's it from me. Thank you so much. I know I'm taking time out of your day, so I tried to keep it under half an hour.
No worries.
Anyone listening, if you do want to follow Ayrton's journey, please follow him at Ayrton_Simmons on Twitter. I'm not sure if you've got an Instagram account, if you want to give like a quick shout out or.
Yeah. Follow just at Ayrton Simmons. So nothing special.
Nice. Well, everyone, thank you once again for listening. Ayrton, thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure we'll be in touch on Twitter in the next couple of weeks.
Lovely. No, thanks for having me on, mate. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, thanks for taking time out of your day to speak with me.
It's been a real joy. Thank you so much, and I'll speak to you soon. All right, see you soon, mate.
See you, mate. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye bye. So everyone, as you heard recently from Ayrton, it was a real pleasure to speak with him. I managed to gain a really good understanding into the mindset of a racing driver, and I hope that you did also. If you do have any questions or anything, please feel free to reach out to Ayrton himself on Instagram or on Twitter. But thank you once again for listening, and I'll see you all in the next episode about the French Grand Prix.